the open meeting thing, but the question, the thing that I just keep kind of tripping over, especially like in a subcommittee, it's like something like this. It would have been nice to have been able to go, hey, email it out. You know, here's just kind of a summary. And then when we get together, everybody would have had a chance to, you know, kind of go back and forth. But the way that it, the way that those reads, it sounds like we can't even send like an email amongst each other. It has to go through stuff. So that was kind of my only point the last meeting. It just makes things a little more difficult for communication.
This is the first meeting, the budget subcommittee. So, you know, as we go along, we're going to get into a routine and a structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll become more familiar, you know, with the format. I think it'll make it easier.
Okay, and the documents on the screen, Manan, can you see that okay?
I can see half of it great. If it could be pulled up a little.
I think there's two pages to this document.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it behind.
So, Darren, if you could, you know, if you've got stuff like this, maybe email it to Diana and then have her email it to us. I think it just has to go through somebody.
Yeah, this one was a little last minute. I apologize. Let me.
Let me forward it to her.
Okay.
Yeah, if you could just do that. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are we ready to get started?
Well, roll call. Are you ready for that?
Almost. It's on its way, Manan.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I want to make sure the recording's on. Okay. Roll call, Commissioner Maurice Roberts.
Aye.
Commissioner Darren Gregg.
Here.
Vice Chair Manan Getsy.
Here.
Okay, we can proceed.
Thank you for taking the time, everybody. Really appreciate it. I'm still waiting for the document, so I'm going to hold here. Someone else wants to start.
Since we're in a small small meeting, okay, I think we probably can speak a little freely. Okay, if one needs to interrupt, you know, I think it's okay. Mano, are you up for that?
Got the document. Give me a moment.
But I just read the document just now, okay, and I think it's very good, okay. I don't know that it really applies to this subcommittee, okay. I think it's something that probably we want to introduce in full committee session, okay, because if I'm correct, okay, this is supposed to be a budget subcommittee, okay, and I don't see any money in there.
Well, so the way I was kind of looking at it is because, so as the budget side, so for this subcommittee, I was thinking it was not just more of a budget, but how we could potentially help garner funding, right, for the Parks and Services.
Oh, definitely.
And that's where I wanted to kind of take a little bit of an out of the box look, because in previous positions, I've been in organizations where, you know, for background, I came out of the military. And, one of my assignments was as a college ROTC commander. And you can't, as a federal employee, solicit funds. So a lot of the same rules from a city position, right? You can't go out and try to get money and raise money for different things. But what we did was we partnered with the college, and it was like, hey, we would go out and we would say, this is the programs that we use, and these are key items that we want to be able to do in the program, and kind of put it that way. And then private organizations would then go to the university to go, hey, we want to help support them do this. We're going to donate money to the university, and, you know, university, make sure you're allowing the ROTC cadets and stuff to do that. And so by taking a look at kind of that approach, I was like, well, maybe we could do something similar in this case, where we already have a private organization, right, through Tucson Clean and Beautiful, that does an Adopt the Park program. If we could work with them to to work with the Chamber of Commerce, work with other folks, and help identify, talking with Greg, a lot of, hey, these are the primary things that we need to have done in the parks that we're having trouble getting funding for, then maybe we leverage these organizations through a program like this to go, hey, you know, we can't go and raise the money itself, but we can help push the information out through these organizations, and they can go out and work with the businesses saying, hey, this is what we need. And so that's why I wanted to kind of talk about it in this subcommittee.
I see that, and I think it's very good. In previous full commission meetings, and I think the first thing that we need to establish is that how are we going to get that cash to make it legal? Okay, so with Director Lena, we spoke about something called the Parks Foundation, okay, which is no longer in existence, mm-hmm. but which was an organization, okay, that was able to raise cash, okay. I'm just wondering, and Lena, feel free to jump in whenever you want to, but can we somehow, okay, get into the Parks Foundation organization and make it ours, so we have a tool to function, to a legal tool to accept cash?
I don't know all the details of setting up a nonprofit, but anyone could decide to start a new foundation. It would have to comply with whatever accounting and legal structure. They sunsetted the foundation, and I believe someone was looking into reactivating the original, I don't know if it's the EIN number or the tax ID number, and someone had advised them that it would be cleaner to set up a brand new foundation so that the history from that moment and point in time, financial records and all that stuff, starts with that. I can't tell you to do that or not do that because the Parks Foundation was independently managed. It didn't, we gave them information on capital investments that were needed, but we did not opine on how they operated, how many board members they had, how they did fundraising. That's kind of the line that we stand on this side. And then there was that group that was doing those activities that we partnered with.
Okay, now, is there going to be a conflict of interest? Is if commissioners, Parks and Rec commissioners, are part of a new version of the Parks Foundation?
And we certainly can ask that question.
Okay.
I know Antonio has expressed he's interested in the foundation as well, but I can ask if that would pose a conflict to be serving as a board member on a foundation for the Parks Department and the commission. I can certainly do that.
All right. At the same token, if it's going to be a legal move, okay, can we maybe get some numerous people to contact, or how do we proceed as far as taking over the Parks Foundation, either under the existing EIN number or new EIN number, whatever.
I don't know enough about that. From nonprofits that I've served with or on boards of, typically when they're looking to increase membership or reactivate, they tend to use their own personal networks to encourage people to participate. I'm sure there's a lot of information online about how to set up successful foundations. And I'd be happy as well. I think Buckeye might have one. I can find out who it manages theirs and put you in contact with them.
Excellent.
I'd be very hesitant to give direction that would be considered the path. You know what I mean? Just to be safe.
I mean, Darren, I don't want to put down your setup over here, but we just got $2 or $3 million that was cut from our funds.
Right.
Our funding. So we're going to make up for it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking hard cash, and there's you know, there's ways to raise cash, you know, especially with the number of folks that we have. I addressed, you know, an idea of putting up some QR codes all over every park, okay, asking for, you know, please help us. I don't know if you watch PBI, but, you know, since they got their funding pulled out, okay, if you look on PBS program these days, you know, they're fundraising all day long, okay. And, you know, it's a matter of survival, okay. There were programs that have been cut already over here, you know, for seniors and things like this, you know, that, in my opinion, needs to be reactivated, but we need some benefits, okay. I mean, cleaning the park is a good thing, and I agree with you, you know, we could save some, you know, some money by having, you know, support, you know, from organization and businesses to get involved, you know, Tucson Adopt a Park Public, you know, public area program. Okay. That's a good idea. But we still need to have a way to bring in cash and put it someplace legal so that if we need it, okay, programs that are being cut, okay.
Right.
Which are not, you know, adopt a park, you know.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So, if I remember correctly, back during the Save the Heart of Reed Park days, the foundation was still around, and then it disappeared shortly thereafter. Could you give us any idea, Laura, why that happened?
So, when I joined the department, I believe at that time they might have had 6 members. And what was clearly stated by 3 of the longest time members is that they were all pretty much tired. COVID took them from a robust foundational board down to a skeleton crew. So during the time that I was here, in the beginning, they hired someone to do their website. They were continuing to try to solicit for funds, specifically for the Rose Garden. And Anne-Marie basically said that they really wanted to sunset it. So I asked them to try to delay that and was trying to actively get involved in helping them to get new members. But then the city manager's office told me that wasn't my role, that I couldn't solicit membership for them, that they needed to do it themselves. So then they made a decision to close, cash out the primary account, and then roll the endowment account over to the community foundation. And basically that fund, that foundation manages the account, the endowment account, and we get a residual check from them, which is not a lot. I think the last one was 20,000, and we only get it once a year.
Before COVID hit, and they started to decline because of that, were they successful? Was it pretty successful? Or
it seems like they were. I mean, they did a golf tournament. They had different fundraising things, activities that they did. I saw that there was figures like, they also partnered with one of the skateboard groups when Cushing was being started. And I think collaboratively they raised 20,000. I mean, I don't think they were in the hundreds of thousands. Like I know park foundations that really hardcore do a really good job and bring in hundreds of thousands a year. I would say they were probably under 100,000 a year. Dale, Anne-Marie, and I forgot the name of the lady who was acting as their accountant, they did tell me stories of years ago of it being much more robust. I just think that through natural progression of people either moving out of the area, getting interested in other things, they were an older board. So I think that they were hoping to get a younger generation involved to keep it going. My best thought at the time before I was told stand down and you can't keep it, you can't insert yourself, was to try to get retirees from the park system to join and kind of pick up the mantle. But I'm not sure that we have enough even, but I mean, I think that there's an ability, there's a lot of people in this town that love parks. So if someone really had the passion to kind of commence and put it together, I think a foundation could be successful here. And we did talk to the zoo about trying to like collab with their foundation, but we're going to keep, there should be a separation between zoo and city for, because they are, we are under a management agreement with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that helps.
So yeah, it does. I have one other question. So when their foundation was in action, did they separate out donations?
Yeah. So you could donate. You could donate for a variety of different things. You could be part of their fundraising initiative for like the skate park. And then they did do a push for the Rose Garden. But we also used to do our memorial benches, I believe, through them as well. So Sierra would track the number of memorial benches that people paid the foundation for, and then the foundation would disperse the funds at a certain point in time of the year to then cover the cost of those benches to be installed. So we've now pivoted where we have a donation button on our website, and people still continue to do donations for specific things. Right now, Councilmember Cunningham is fundraising with Joseph Blair to erect a covered court, a shade system over the basketball court at Palo Verde. And he is directing folks to donate there, and it's going into a set-aside account specific to that. So just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just curious, but what was the reason the city manager decided that you could not help out with the staffing,
so
helping, you know, that foundation?
It was my assistant city manager at the time, and she said that there had to be the understanding of a distinction of basically a nonprofit private entity and city resources. They can't mix. And when I was explaining to her that I thought about us trying to host retirees to encourage them to join the board, she felt like it was too close a line, especially being that the board was failing to thrive. And so when your boss tells you to kind of back away from something, you do that.
I'm just curious, but this is a few years later, and the financial situation is totally different.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it something that the new city manager could be approached and maybe get an opinion from them?
I'm not sure that. The thing is, here's the way I look at it. Just like setting up a business, there would be a lot of work that has to happen to set up the foundation, regardless of how much our rules of engagement would allow. I'm not sure that we're even there to have that conversation with him, because you would need an entity to exist for him to then bless the parameters of the interaction.
Yes.
You would have to, you know, there's, for lack of a better word, corporation papers that would have to be drafted, filed, nonprofit status to be applied for. I don't know all the details. But even the potential resurrection of the former foundation, I mean, that's going to take someone to do. We can't do it. I know that for a very fact. We cannot be involved in it. We can't do any of the business setting up of it, because that would be using city resources. And it also could cross the boundaries of what is ethical for us to be involved in setting up.
But as non-salaried commissioners, okay, we don't really work for the city, okay?
Right.
If we were to engage, okay, in the, we bring it back that Parks Foundation, okay, and unless, you know, like I say, CD thinks that's some type of legal issue, but I don't see a legal issue here because, again, we're not salaried by the city. At this point, there's no
right. As you said, I would get an opinion based on your commissioner's involvement with the establishment of the foundation. I have no problem asking for that definition to be confirmed or, you know, the confirmation of whether that is deemed appropriate or a conflict of interest or not. I'm just trying to say, in response to your question, the boundaries of what I will be able to do really would be more in terms of collaborating and bringing information on, say, projects that need funds or programs that need funds. But when it comes to setting up the mission, the scope, the parameters of all that, I definitely could tell you I couldn't be involved.
Well, again, like I said, you know, taking up that, you know, foundation, you know, that has been terminated, okay, may be an easy way to go, you know, to go about it. But again, like I said, you know, let's get some legal opinion, okay,
yeah,
whether we could get involved.
I think that's fine. We can ask our attorney.
And then I think we'll take it from there. But, yeah, if we have to, you know, start a new foundation from start, okay, it is a project, okay. We all carry different hats, okay. So, you know, let's not forget, you know, we're all volunteers and our time is somewhat limited, okay. And at the same token, you know, we also have the experience of running various, you know, organizations. So it's something that we could, you know, get into fairly easily.
The only issue I see around having more than one commissioner on a foundation is the same issue that we have with, we don't know how we can communicate to each other without going through Parks and Rec.
right.
And so it would have to, you know, clearly be very difficult to have more than one, you know, on an actual foundation where there are meetings and minutes and all these other things that are required for a nonprofit. I have put together a nonprofit in the past and taken one down, and it is a lot of work. And so I think, whatever we do, if we try to help this occur by reaching out to people, we do need to have younger and older people together, working together. And as far as not being salaried, the things that I think we could do now is reach out to people if we knew who those people were who might be willing to do something like this, and put it together that way. Because, again, it's a lot of work. There has to be a certain amount of meetings, certain amount of minutes. There has to be so many reports. Tax ID number, it just goes on and on. And, you know, finally, I closed mine down because it was exhausting. So there's a lot to be said around that. And I think we also need to identify what we want to actually fundraise for. That would be the next thing.
Well, we do have a what happened? We lost funding for $3 million. Am I correct?
No, we lost funding for Ready, Set, Rec, which is $180,000. Right now, the budget is sitting at about $38 million, and that's general fund and what's called restricted general fund. So we're pretty stable. I mean, we had increases, of course, because there was 1.5% for staff increases in July, and we got a little bit of supplemental funding for landscape services, security services, and custodial services. So we did increase, but we did lose Ready, Set, Rec.
Are we factoring in that, you know, general fund is bound to decrease as we go along?
Yeah, there's definitely conversations around that in the city right now. City manager will guide us in terms of what he wants to discuss, how he wants to approach it. But ultimately, mayor and council make final decisions. He does presentations to them on recommendations. But there's no recommendations that have been made so far.
Okay, so I really just, I'm thinking here that, I'm sorry, you go ahead. Mano, you were going to say something?
Yeah, you know, as far as identifying things that I've been seeing in my 31 years of living here and living next to a major park, is I'm glad they're getting a little bit more money for cleanup, because that's a constant ongoing issue and it's going to get worse. But one of the other things is that right now the city of Tucson is listed as the third fastest heating city in the United States. And there are things that could be done to mitigate some of that climate change, as we've been seeing, that's pretty dramatic. And one of the best ways to do that is to make sure that, you know, the bigger, older tree canopy is kept for as long as possible. And from all of my experience, it really takes a lot of extra maintenance, which is expensive and has to be done at certain times in order for the trees to do well. You know, there are certain times where you just don't want to get too much of a smell of a certain tree in the air being cut, or it will bring the beetles, for instance, and then everything goes down. And so that's one of the reasons I brought this up. That was actually the main reason I brought this up. That and keeping the parks clean, was trying to get more money to fund trees and keeping our tree canopy up, because they do the most majority of reducing carbon and keeping the climate down and providing shade. And they take a lot less water than the newly planted trees that often don't make it. So that's one of the things, Maurice, that I was looking at, and I just wanted to get that out there. Yes, we need to find funding, but it's also, I think it's helpful when we do find funding, that we actually put out some really good stories about some of the things we are trying to fund and why. And so people can understand why they are important. You know, it's always easier to get money for sports. That's just how it is. It's always easier. It's not easy necessarily to take care of the things that you have. So that's one of the main things that I always look at, is taking care of what we have. Even money to upgrade, it's very expensive to upgrade drinking fountains. And, you know, we've seen how much money that costs, you know, because they have to dig into the pipes. And, you know, that's a lot of cash. And so those are the kinds of things that I'd like to see, is maybe the two of you also come up, Darren and Maurice, come up with ideas of what you would like to see funding for, and that we can keep it to a smaller amount so that any foundation maybe could target that, because that's what we're seeing as commissioners that needs help now, kind of thing. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I think you bring up a really good point. And it makes me kind of wonder. So, you know, if we identify, or, you know, through you guys identify, hey, these are the, you know, top main projects that we don't have funding for, or perhaps we do have funding for, but, you know, you may be able to get funding and then you could use that funding for something else, right? If you identify it that way, then I'm kind of wondering, do we need to establish a foundation? Because, you know, or are there enough 501Cs out there that already do work for the city, for the, you know, the park services, that may want to actually champion that program, right? That, you know, may want to just champion it, if, but they just need to know that, hey, this is an issue, this is a priority. And then the other way to go about doing it too is going, hey, you know, projects for, like you said, you know, Chamber of Commerce, right? You know, maybe that's something that, you know, through city or other places they can go, hey, you know, businesses, if you're interested, you know, I don't know, Home Depot, you know, we need to repath this area here. Maybe that's something that they could do a lot easier service wise. Parks and Service doesn't have to spend the money on it. That money then goes to other budget items. If your budget works that way, I don't know if you're able to move money from different pots.
Yeah, we can do realignments. We try not to do them too frequently, but yeah, like right now, for example, the custodial money that I got on Friday, I just figured out where I needed to distribute it across the different centers, so they could be a little better situated. So yeah, we can. And certainly if there's, like, for example, shade replacements over playgrounds, if we're planning to do that and we got some companies that sponsored the shades instead of us spending the money, then yeah, we could redirect the money to a different purpose. Yeah, that's easy.
So I guess my question with that then is, was ethical and legal limit, right, left and right limits on what we could potentially ask for, share, or again, mm-hmm. you know, because like in the business that I used to do, we couldn't ask for anything, but we could always tell about, hey, you know, these are all the wonderful things that we would love to do. And then people would come to us and go, hey, we want to help you out with that. But we weren't necessarily going out and soliciting.
Right.
So I just don't know what the right and left limits would be.
I mean, I think that's a good additional question to ask. Like, it is, as a commissioner, as a commission, could you all put out there a coordinated effort of identifying projects that you'd love to see the community come together to support? You know, is that allowed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I could, I mean, if you want me to draft it that way, I can ask and then we, so then my question would be, do I provide the answer to just the subcommittee or do I provide the answer to the entire commission?
Well,
as I learn alongside you.
It should be a two-step process, okay? Committee first, subcommittee first, since it is a subcommittee.
That's right.
And then, you know, present it in full commission, you know, I think.
That's fine.
You know, but to get back a little bit here, okay, we had some, to cut some projects, okay, some for, you know, senior citizens, you know, meals and stuff like this, whereas a few centers no longer offered that particular benefit, okay, I think it's terrible, okay, and it always comes down to funding and lack of funding. So we do have a, you know, I mean, preserved trees is very important, especially, you know, for your parks and recreation environment. But we do have other functions than just park. Okay, we have, you know, senior citizen centers, you know, in various areas of Tucson, which people are using. And, you know, we're not getting to be a younger population. People are aging. So it's something that we need, if anything, to maintain and possibly expand. Okay. And right now we couldn't get done because we don't have even the money to run, you know, even what we have. So, which is why, you know, I brought the points that, you know, we gotta come up with cash, a legal way to bring in cash, okay, and park it somewhere so that parks and recs can use it where it is needed. Okay. Which, you know, it's, my opinion, you know, is that, you know, you mentioned Parks, you know, Parks Foundation, and the thing, you know, the idea of taking over an existing organization, even though it's been asleep for a few years, is very, very tempting. Okay. Now, as far as, you know, the legality of the commissioner running it, okay, again, like I said, I had to stress that point again, but, you know, city manager has to be talked to. He has to understand that, you know, there's financial priorities that need to be covered. Okay,
and
to be flexible.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think you're misunderstanding what I'm trying to say is that I don't think there's any opposition to there being a park foundation. I don't think no one's going to tell anyone, hey, don't set up a nonprofit. The question that came up from this meeting is we have to confirm if there's any conflict of interest in a current serving parks commissioner to be involved in setting up a park foundation, right? That's baseline. Then the next step is if the park foundation is set up, I would say the foundation needs to come up with their wish list of how they would like park staff to assist them. And then we get a confirmation of what is allowed versus not allowed.
And really, probably, most likely, I know that you don't want to speak, you know, too, you know, in certain terms, but most likely that would just be on an information basis.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, you being able to provide information of these are our biggest priorities and
right.
What we would really need.
I mean,
there's no real work or assistance you could provide that.
Right. Hour. Yeah. There's no staff hours that could be attributed. I know Sierra told me that there was times that they would come up with like marketing materials that they'd be pushing out, and then we would also push out. That's different. You know, putting out communication is different. So I just want to make sure I'm really, really clear on, like, the boundaries. And at the time, and when I said city manager's office, I was talking about my boss at the time, who was the assistant city manager. I now report to a different assistant city manager. But I want to be clear on kind of, like, the delineation and guidance that I was given at the time was based on what was going on and what the foundation needed and what I, out of the goodness of my heart and wanting to keep a foundation, wanted to do, but was told that's not your job.
Right. But, you know, my opinion, okay, is that, you know, your priorities, whatever they are, is where that money should go to. Okay. You should be the one that identify where you need that cash to be used, number one. Number two, and I go back to my PBS story, okay, But, you know, when you look at PBS and you see QR codes in your every program, okay, somebody need to explain to me why we cannot put, you know, QR codes in the parks and have people actually contribute, okay, to a website that would be, they will be tied to those QR codes. All we need to do, okay, we may not need to have a foundation to do that. All we need to do is find out, you know, would it be legal to just have an account for Parks and Rec that would be funded, you know, from those QR codes?
It would have to be attached to a nonprofit. You know, the city itself, so think about it from this perspective. If DTM wanted money for roads, just like Parks wants money to improve parks, you could have a QR code on just about every public asset within the city that you're fundraising, that the government is then fundraising for itself. And there are some who potentially would respond, well, I already pay taxes. I already pay for services that I want to participate in with parks. It's not a digestible tool for the city itself to use. If it's a nonprofit entity that's fundraising on behalf of parks, whether it's parks programs or investment, it is it's delivered and received differently within the public realm. So doing our own fundraising via QR codes where we are soliciting and we are collecting the money, it would not be a great idea. It would turn into a media story that would not be favorable for anyone. And I wouldn't endorse it. It just, that could jeopardize a lot of things for us. People get in their feelings about money easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, it ties into this, the solicitation item of it. I guess, just kind of, you know, thinking out loud, would do you guys have any kind of an open house or where you bring in civic leaders, business leaders, and kind of showcase all the different programs that Parks and Rec offers and what the, you know, what potential plans are and, you know, opportunities and things like that? Do you do anything like that?
You know, we've done open houses where we want the community to come in, community at large, but we haven't done a targeted open house, and it's not a terrible idea.
So if you were to do something like that, and like somebody from Raytheon happened to be there and said, "Hey, you know what? You know, let Raytheon buy all your covers for all your playgrounds." So
great.
But so that would yeah. be different, right? That would be, they'd be able to do that donation to the
yeah,
city without the other rules and stuff like that.
100%.
So that might be something, because I think between now, I guess the other question is, I've got a lot of those contacts myself. I'm sure everybody around here has all our different contacts. Would we be allowed to reach out and go, "Hey, Tucson Parks and Recs are having this thing, you know, would you mind attending?"
Yeah. I don't think that there would be a problem with it, and I wouldn't mind just kind of flushing that out with Christina, who's my boss, and saying, "Hey, here's this idea," to be able to highlight all the opportunities to invest and folks could come in. I'm sure there would be some sort of agreement that would have to be flushed out to recognize the entities for their donation. We certainly could figure out that mechanism. But we've had it. I mean,
you could even set it up kind of like a college fair, right? Where you
yeah.
have the different booths and stuff.
Right.
Because I think that, you know, every month we listen to all the wonderful things, especially like the swimming lessons and everything else. Getting that out to a lot more folks. So, you know,
right.
It's like, hey, you know, your community is using this stuff.
You know, I'm just thinking here, but are you familiar with swimming pool over here?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful building. Okay, to give a party in there, it's like ideal. Okay, and again, like I said, you know, this would be a fundraising opportunity like nothing. Okay, and it's covered. Okay, as far as security, you know, minimum. Okay, cost would be really, you know, just what, you know, whatever we want to put in there, band and, you know, some catering or something like this, you know, and that's it. Okay. And again, this is a beautiful building that could, you know, hold a few hundred people. Okay. Have a party.
I see where you're going. We'd have to figure out what the deck capacity actually would be. Because we have to stay compliant with that. And then we'd also have to find a funder for anything that's affiliated with the cost of doing a fundraiser. I mean, that's what it always comes down to. Someone who, so say, just because we talked to Raytheon, say Raytheon said, yeah, I want to help and support parks. So we'll pay for the cost to cater and have a DJ. And then there's like an entry fee or there's some sort of, I don't know, whatever direction you go in to raise the money and then it's dedicated to parks. Yes. I mean, that probably is a feasible thing. We would just have to figure out like what would it cost to do it and what is the capacity. I don't know if that deck can take a couple hundred people.
You know, it was very good at doing that. Tucson Lifestyle. They actually, you know, give parties, you know, for their own at least once or twice a year. And, you know, they're very successful. Okay. Again, I guess, you know, your idea is great. Okay. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of companies in town that would like to work.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, it's one great way to go about it. You could have silent auctions, balls. It doesn't have to be once a year. It could be, you know, every couple of months, every 6 months, whatever. But you'd be surprised the kind of money you can bring, you know, you can raise doing that. You know. Now, the question is going to be, whom do you give the money to?
What's that?
The question is going to be, whom do you give the money to? Okay.
Right.
The donations. So we still need some kind of a understanding, whereas, you know, Parks and Recs can actually accept donations.
We can accept donations. That is currently not a challenge. The problem is that we can't use any city resources, staffing or revenue or funding to create a fundraising activity. That's the challenge. That's why you need a 501c3 or volunteers or someone that is a team that is going to set up everything that's related to an event to occur for the purpose of fundraising for the department.
So if we did it in a fundraising capacity, would folks from your department be able to be there, talk about their programs and things like
that?
Or is that?
That would be fine.
Okay.
That would be fine. But when we're talking about like a gala under the tent at the Arc.
Right.
There's the thing that would make me nervous there is it's a large body of water. And yes, it would be a really cool event. But we'd still have to make sure that we had lifeguards because people do stupid things and could fall in the water. But I mean, it's a unique idea. I understand the direction that you're going in. I think it's more like, what is the mechanics behind doing activities like that? Doing an open house here, which we've done recruiting open houses for kids. So we know how to do an open house in even this room or another room and have folks that are talking about programs or investments.
Right.
100%.
That would probably be something you could do rather easily and pretty quickly.
Yeah. As far as the pool, you could get some folks from the pool department to, you know, to be like as lifeguards, you know, just stay there, keep an eye, make sure everybody's.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it all comes at a cost, $16.50 an hour. I have to pay them to be there.
Yeah. Well, you said that we cannot use city money, but you always said that.
If you're in a city facility, city staff are going to have to be present, and we would have to figure out how we cover the cost of them being working for the event.
So you mentioned something that we still get $20,000 a year from the Parks Foundation.
From the endowment fund that's been embedded, and that number can change because they invest and then they do a disbursement.
Okay.
But that disbursement is specified for capital investment.
Right.
So I can't use it for programming. I can't pay it to an entity to do fundraising for me. It's pretty clear because that was the foundation's mission when they were operating, and that transferred with the funds over there.
And again, if you give a fundraising gala, okay, this could be understood as capital improvement, because eventually you're going to get some funds from that gala, from the fundraising gala. Okay, again, this is, you know, in a legal lines that need to be cleared out. Okay, I'll make sure you could do that, but that's not city money. Okay. So,
well, the moment the check is written to the city of Tucson, it's city money. And their instructions are to do the disbursement to the city of Tucson Parks Department. So I don't have a way of telling them to disperse it to someone else for the purpose of fundraising. Okay. I just want to be clear, like, sure. And I'm and from a regulatory accounting, and I just came out of an accounting meeting. Standpoint, those are boundaries that I have to abide by, because those are findings. If I were to try to misdirect money, redirect money, and it was considered malfeasance, I mean, that would be my job.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering what your leeway you had with lines once your accounts got approved. So,
yeah.
I know we have a hard time trying to move money from different pots of money.
So if my bottom line is 38 million, as long as I'm not trying to increase it above 38 million. I have thousands of spend categories. I have the ability outside of salaries to move the money around.
Okay.
We don't do it a lot because obviously historically you want there to be a certain amount of consistency in your spend categories so that you can understand your trends. But we have, because like John Bonillas has done a really good job of applying some efficiency modeling to some of our contracts so that we can relieve some money to then put in other places. A prime example, CCTV cameras, our first generation cameras are dying. They're cloudy. They're not even filming anything anymore. So now, Aaron Gillenhan, who's our IT guy, told me, we really need to replace them. So because John was able to figure out some efficiency funding, I was able to then attribute to the tech, program so that we can start a CCTV replacement. I mean, and that doesn't sound like a sexy thing, but those CCTV, recordings have helped us with crimes and issues or confirming safety.
It's very important.
Yeah, so it's important. So, I mean, those are the things that I think unlikely a company's going to come in and say, yes, we want to, unless they're really into that stuff. I mean, we have needs everywhere for all sorts of things. Shade is definitely a reoccurring theme. Playgrounds, not all of our playgrounds are covered through the budget or through the bond. So, if a playground that's not bond covered needs to come offline, which we've had three so far, if there's not an alternative source of funding, then basically that park is losing a playground.
But see, like you were saying, you know, there's some deep pockets, you know, individual and organization in Tucson that could be sponsors.
Mm.
If you do that, then there's no city money, okay? As a sponsor, okay, you just come up with so much cash up front, okay. On top of that, you could have, like I was saying, a silent auction that's going to bring more money, okay. And you know, pay for, you know, for tickets at the door, okay. Reed Park has some really gorgeous buildings, okay, and we're not using them when it comes to making, you know, to help out to raise cash. I think we need to do something. We can't just wait for things to get worse and worse. Okay, we have to be proactive here. And Raytheon is one possibility. I'm thinking, you know, there's a bunch of companies that even Parks and Recs work with, you know, architect's office, builders.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure that we can actually solicit vendors that we're under a financial agreement with. So that's the other, because that's come up in the past about doing stuff for like staff appreciation. There's boundaries with that. Sometimes like a construction company that will have finished a big construction project with us they'll sponsor like the groundbreaking activities or the ribbon cutting activities. But there's like also procurement guidelines around that. And then we have to also vet any company to make sure there isn't a relationship that's pre-existing or with another department, you know, because Parks isn't everything. That he's, you know, pretty large. And
otherwise it crosses streams with other selections for different projects.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So we're mindful of that. I mean, these are all good ideas and things that we've thought of, but you do start to hit some walls when it comes to what is considered public administration guidelines and financial appropriateness. I think you guys have some great ideas. I love the idea of trying to maximize, because even some of what Darren has recommended here, if we didn't have to do so much of that, that could by default reduce some of our costs. Specifically, number four, and actually Ward 2 has been proposing out a volunteer repair replacement concept. We just haven't fleshed it out. But he's had entities or smaller groups that want to come and do something. What he wants is us to provide the materials and then they do the labor. So trying to figure out the nuances of that and risk abatement, liability abatement. But I mean, I think it's all within a good vein because some of this would by default move the cost that we have.
I'm looking at the draft that they created. And if you look at it, look at this. Okay. Later abatement and waste reduction. Install and maintain waste and recycling bins. Okay. Beautification projects. Paint mural, install public arts. Water waste stewardship. Promote water conservation practices. Accessibility and safety enhancements. Advocate for ADA compliant grades. Community engagement. Create signage with environmental message. What stops us from putting some QR codes? Right there. Next to it. In other words, just a QR code. Let people decide what they want to do. There's no, you know, QR code goes directly to, you know, to our website, whichever way, you know, we receive the donation money. Okay. And again, like I said, this is a passive effort. We're not, you know, promoting, you know, we're not begging for money. You know, we're just, you know, you've seen all this, you know, all those particular points. Well, okay, is your QR code? Look at it. Okay. And then in there, okay, that's going to lead us to, you know, our website, which is going to have a donation, you know, link.
So when you say our website, whose website?
Fox and Rex.
Go ahead.
I think it goes back to that whole transition of money and handling money. But I guess my question, isn't Tucson Clean and Beautiful a private organization?
They're a nonprofit, independent organization that we do partner, and they do have an agreement with us to provide a certain amount of service within parks for the city.
Right. And so if for your idea, right, if we wanted to, could we partner with them and talk with them and go, hey, these are some of the priorities,
right?
You know, could we utilize them to do that?
Yeah,
you'd like QR code on this thing, they get it goes to Tucson, you know, Clean and Beautiful,
right?
And then they execute on our behalf.
Yeah, I mean, Katie,
and then we don't have to create our own,
right? Yeah, Katie could be a good one to have a conversation with. I know Greg's been trying to coordinate for them to come and do a presentation, right? Yeah, we've done a number of mutual projects with them where they've either gotten grants or donations and then they've done park improvements. They would have to agree to be a pass-through, but certainly they're an entity that we work very closely with.
So we already have the established relationship, so yeah. It sure beats trying to create an organization from scratch.
It's a win-win. Now all of a sudden you have cash on there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So let's go for it. You know, I mean, you know the people, you have a relationship, you know, go for it.
So, like I said, we're inviting TCB to come and talk to us, talk to the commission. We would have to also then figure out, because as an advisory board, you can make an advisement,
right?
So we also have to make sure that we stay within the boundaries of what the commission's allowed to do. But the first step, I think, is engaging them when they come to present. And then from there, figuring out, are there next steps?
You know, I always say, you know, two heads is better than one, three than four, and four. That's, you know, you get ideas together, you know, you mix it up, you match it.
And then, I mean, coincidentally, too, TCB does deliver a lot of what Manon is highlighting, the value of the trees. I mean, that's definitely their ethics of focus. And they've done a number of really cool projects within our parks and have been our partners for planting.
And they did take a large donation from Save the Heart when we were canceling out our and putting it towards a tree trimming event at Barton Hill. So they have done that kind of stuff before, but it does increase, you know, their level of work for sure. And maintaining, you know, keeping everything in alignment, and that's a lot to ask. So, you know, we can ask it, but we'll have to take what they give us afterwards.
But, you know, I think we're living in a new world also. You know, years ago, there was no such thing as QR codes. Okay? Mm. And you had to be, you know, extremely proactive in raising in money among that.
Right.
So, you know, this is a new world. Okay, let's take the advantage of it. Let's take advantage of the technology. And again, like I said, this brings cash into your proposal here. But I think it's a pretty good idea.
Well, we're hitting that time. So do we want to move forward with another meeting date, or?
Well, yeah, I think we should keep the action going. Okay, I mean, you know, budget doesn't stop after, you know, after a couple of months. Budget is a recurring issue. Okay, so you want to do it once a month? Okay, it's would that work for you? I think
it's your subcommittee, not my subcommittee.
I think you've been elected to be a permanent teacher.
And I think the subcommittee members need to make a decision, and then they choose who to invite.
I would recommend once a month. How about you guys? I know.
What are you thinking, Darren? You just took on a new job.
Yeah, no, I could do once a month. It's Tuesdays are a little difficult for me, but as long as I can do it, if we wanted to do it at 3:30 on Tuesdays, still I could do that. I can get away once a month, pull away once a month to do that. I may just have to dial in sometimes. This one I wanted to be. I haven't been in person yet, so I wonder.
So. No, the rest of the commission's gonna be jealous.
So what is it? The second Tuesday or the third Tuesday? I think it's the second Tuesday right now. So the next one will be the 9th of September.
Director Hemway, does that give you enough time to get to contact the people you need to contact to answer those questions that we had?
Yeah, I'm just going to highlight that Tuesday the 9th is the next mayor and council meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's probably not a good day.
So it will, what all the hinges is whether I have an item on the agenda or not.
Okay.
If I don't, I can be here. If I do, I have to be at City Hall.
Well, since the mayor and council meetings tend to be on the 2nd and 4th, what about doing it on the 16th instead?
That's fine for me, but again, this is the subcommittee's preference.
Do you say the 16th?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find
that would actually be a lot better day for me.
Would it? Because that would be better for me as well. How about you, Maurice?
That works for me, no problem.
Okay, 3:30?
And they'll leave one out a little more time.
Yeah, I mean, Diane and I will confer and make sure I have all my questions ready, and I'll get them shot off to the attorney's office tomorrow.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
And I'll work on the meeting invite for that date as well.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, as a regular commission, they want to just give it.
Yeah, I mean, whoever wants to provide an update, that would be on you guys.
I think it's a very productive meeting. Yeah. We've laid out some nice conditions. Okay.
And yeah. To save time in the future, if someone comes up with something concrete that's kind of cool, like, hey, these people would be willing to help out, you know, maybe we could email that to Diana and Laura and they could send it out to the other two so we can have the heads up before the meeting, if that would work.
Good.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We're going to adjourn.
Bye, Manon.
All right, bye, Manon.
Bye. Take it easy.
So where are you working, or where's your new job?
I'm the director of staff for the base.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was actually wondering if you might have 15 minutes to talk to me with my other hat on.
Oh, this is about maintenance.